May God bless us as we look at God's word together. The profound simplicity of this morning is so often lost on us. God loves us. There are many times in our lives when we are not so sure. But on this one day, most of us touched even in this culture and by this story somehow can hear the message that God loves us. What was it on that day that our scripture tells us that Mary pondered in her heart? The word in our text is there and explains the different responses of the shepherd and of Mary. Of the shepherds, it says, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. But for Mary, it says, Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. It is all about the shepherd's words. That is what Mary is pondering in her heart. Yes, it is about the fact that the shepherds had heard the voices from heaven. Yes, it is about the fact that they came to honor the Christ child. Yes, it is about their desire to see the King of Kings. But the antecedent to the comment about Mary is the words that the shepherds bring. Glory to God in highest heaven, and on earth peace among those he favors. Mary and the shepherds and those that heard the gospel several decades later knew right away the context for the angel's remarks. It was a direct challenge to the Roman emperor. Everyone knew that it was the Roman emperor that had brought peace to the earth. And the peace that the Roman emperor had brought was not all bad. A system of commerce across a vast empire. Roads that linked the major centers to each other. At least some level of consistency of policies across the empire. The Latin word pax, peace, was used to describe what Emperor Augustus brought to the world. Pax Romana, the peace of Rome. But the angels were talking about a different kind of peace. The peace that they were proclaiming to the shepherds had much more to do with the Old Testament concept of shalom than it did about peace at the end of a barrel or in the time of the first century, peace at the end of a sword. The shalom that this baby represented from the very God that had also created the universe was what the Creator had intended from the very beginning. The peace of this Savior, unlike the Savior that sat on the throne in Rome, was one not brought about by the sword, but by the Word of God. Shalom could now come for all in the world who would wish to live by it. This tiny baby, born to a teenage girl, far away from the palaces and mansions of the elite in Rome, was a symbol that God truly loved everyone. The peace that the angels proclaimed, that the shepherds blabbed out to everyone, and that Mary pondered in her heart, includes, of course, first, inner peace. God, through Jesus, wants to accept each one of us as we are, warts and all. God, through Jesus, wants you to be forgiven for those ways that you have hurt God, ways that we have hurt each other, and ways that we have hurt God's created world, the earth. If you have not experienced this shalom in your life, or you have not experienced it for some time, I invite you to use this Christmas season to allow Jesus to enter or re-enter your hearts. If you want to know more about what this shalom means for your life, you are invited to join a faith exploration class starting sometime early in the new year. But the shalom, the peace that the angels sang about, that the shepherds shared about, and Mary pondered about in her heart, is, yes, inner peace, but more than inner peace. It is an invitation to live that inner peace in each days of our lives. And the primary place to practice this shalom is within the context of others that have found it, amongst the people of God. It is an invitation to live that life. This shalom is an everyday relational peace that is practiced first within the faith community, whether it's in this church or another. We do not practice this perfectly at all. If we did, I wouldn't be eligible to join, and neither would you. But by being brothers and sisters of one who was born in Bethlehem, the one that taught on the mountain and by the sea, the one that healed the sick and the brokenhearted, the one that died at Calvary, and the one that rose again, we practice this shalom. But we do not practice this shalom among each other as an end in itself. The one of whom the angels sang peace on earth, the one whom the shepherds told about to all they could, and the one that Mary pondered in her heart, would teach that we live this shalom with the world around us. Unlike the emperor of Rome, each of us is responsible to live this shalom with all we meet, wherever we live. Unlike the emperor of Rome or the gun lobby in Washington, we live like Jesus did, practicing shalom in all we meet, even if they should kill us. Unlike the emperor of Rome or the government of Ottawa, Manitoba, or City Hall, the shepherds and Mary and we practice this shalom with all we meet, all those who are poor, all those who are suffering from physical disease, all those who are mentally ill, because the one that was born in Bethlehem is God's unparalleled gift to us, taught us to, by example, to touch the leper or the HIV sufferer, to heal the demonic sufferer, or is that the schizophrenic relative, to eat with the prostitute, or is that serving meals at Shalom, to distribute the bread to all who come, or is that the flood and famine relief through our wider church agencies? This is the peace that the angels sang about. This is the peace that the shepherds told about. This is the peace that Mary pondered in her heart. May the songs of the angels be our song this morning and every morning. Amen.